Thursday, August 8th. Today in Europe and Africa, the war was intensified on all fronts. German bombing planes resumed large-scale attacks on the British Isles after a lull of several days. And British bombing planes continued their attacks on German objectives. One report from France says the British raids on the Ruhr Valley are so intense that civilians are being evacuated. The fighting in Africa, meanwhile, is concentrated in the British Somaliland. Now the news direct, Berlin, London, and Rome. First, a report from the German capital by Edwin Hartridge.
This is Berlin. The official German news agency carries an interesting item this morning. It is a report from Norway. The German labor battalions have completed the construction of a road from Narvik above the Arctic Circle to the southern coast of Norway. So while the port of Narvik, long the scene of bitter fighting between the Allies and the German troops, is still wrecked, another line of communications has been opened to the south. And it is possible that this road is improved further, that the Germans will be able to transport Swedish iron ore from Kiruna overland to the south. There it can be transshipped to Germany. This traffic is expected to be in operation this winter. And speaking of Scandinavia, the Borsen Zeitung this morning has another one of its attacks on what it describes as the unneutral conduct of some Swedes. This time, the Swedish radio is singled out as, quote, not understanding the signs of the times, unquote. As examples of its reported unneutral attitude, the Borsen Zeitung cites the Swedish news broadcasts of July 30th. These included a summary of a British Admiralty report and a communique from the London headquarters of General de Gaulle. He, as you know, is chief of the new French Legion being formed in England. And according to the German papers this morning, the New York Times has published a story from its London bureau that English citizens are clamoring for the German pamphlets now being dropped on Great Britain. The Times correspondent is reported to have tabled that, quote, the only complaint that has been offered by the British population is that Hitler has not sent enough pamphlets over, end of quote. Usually, the anti-Hitler editorial policy of the New York Times has been enough to discredit or repudiate all its dispatches, at least in the eyes of the German government. There are unconfirmed reports here that a new trade agreement between Switzerland and Germany is to be signed today. We understand that by the terms of this agreement, Berlin will virtually become a clearinghouse for Swiss exports. For the English and French markets for Switzerland have been cut off by the war, and in return for a promised larger share in the Balkan markets, Switzerland is reported to have agreed to have its exports routed and controlled through Germany. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to talk to a young German soldier just back from the Western Front. His outfit had fought in the Ardennes Forest in Belgium and then south in France behind the Maginot Line. But according to his story, the fiercest resistance that his group met with was put up by the Negro troops from French North Africa. These colonial troops were particularly hard to dislodge in certain forest sectors, he said. Even when their officers were missing, the colonials fought on. They've always had a record of fighting with enjoyment in their work. And because of their guerrilla tactics in the forest, the Germans had to counterattack with heavy artillery fire instead of sending in infantry troops. Incidentally, he told me that on the night before the Blitzkrieg began on May 10th, this particular unit received orders to prepare for a practice exercise on the final line. And then, when all their equipment was packed and loaded on trucks and lorries, and when they had crossed the Moselle River into Luxembourg, only then did they realize that the war had started for them. Well, that is about all there is this morning. There's very little news. So this is Edwin Hartridge, and I return you now to Columbia in New York.
This is New York. Here's the latest news from France. Today, at the ancient country town of Rouen, the new French Supreme Court is in session. The court, set up by the authoritarian government of Marshal Pétain, will seek to determine the causes of the war and the responsibility of the men who led France to defeat. Incidentally, CBS correspondent William L. Scharrer is to give an eyewitness account of today's session in a broadcast from Vichy tonight at 6:45. We take you now back to Europe for the news reported from the British capital by Larry Lesser. Go ahead, London.
Good morning. This is London. The Italian advance into British Somaliland continues. We've not been told how strong the British forces are in Somaliland, but the Italians, in their drive on the Gulf of Aden, are employing three columns, the center one containing probably 6,000 to 7,000 men. A mountain range such as the Italians crossed in their conquest of Abyssinia is probably the severest obstacle confronting them now. The smaller British forces will begin their harassing tactics in these mountains. But we are told that even if the Italians should occupy Berbera on the Gulf of Aden, which is under the command of British naval forces, their success would be barren of anything except prestige. But some observers in London think that this prestige is the very thing the Italians seek, since British Somaliland long has been considered the poorest of the British possessions. However, a striking victory here might have an effect on Egypt. We have no indications thus far whether Egypt will resist an invasion of its country by the Italians, although Egypt has a well-equipped army in fighting trim. There is speculation about Mussolini's first objectives in Egypt, since there is no confirmation in London that his advance across the Libyan frontier has begun. Egypt and Palestine will have exceptionally fine harvests this year, while Italy's is expected to be one of the worst in Europe. This grain would be a great prize, and much depends on whether the Egyptians will fight. A small convoy in the English Channel was raided by German dive bombers this morning, while leaflets and bombs fell on England again during the night. Most interesting of all, a white powder was found on the streets of a city in northwest England after a German raider had passed. Air raid wardens, accompanied by a chemist, gathered it up in bottles. The chemist tried several tests on this mysterious white powder, and it appears to be a sulfur compound. Apparently, the powder was small in quantity and heavy in weight because it did not scatter over a wide area. One source in London stated that the powder had been tested and found to be harmless. It may be contained in the packages of leaflets to explode or scatter them in midair. The leaflets themselves were similar to those dropped last week. They contained Hitler's latest speech. If Hitler hopes to split British public opinion in this country by his airborne propaganda, he apparently will be faced by a difficult task. This is indicated by a survey taken by the British Institute of Public Opinion. The question put to the public was, quote, "In general, do you approve or disapprove of Mr. Churchill as Prime Minister?" 88% of the persons questioned said they approved. 7% disapproved of Mr. Churchill, and 5% didn't know. But this survey gives Mr. Churchill a higher proportion of approval than has ever been shown in similar surveys on popular leaders, either in Britain or in America. And this includes surveys on President Roosevelt's popularity, too. There will be news of India today. A government white paper announcing new decisions on British policy regarding India will be issued this afternoon. We understand it will refer both to the general constitutional issue in India and to the immediate problem of India's war effort. The main proposals of Britain's new Indian policy are expected also to be outlined in Parliament this afternoon. News that the United States House of Representatives passed a bill to allow American ships to carry British children away from these islands was warmly welcomed here. It is expected that the government scheme to evacuate the poorer children will go faster now. This scheme was proceeding on a small scale because of the difficulty in getting naval escorts. It is hoped that the balance between the evacuation of rich and poor children will soon be equalized. 10,000 British subjects have been evacuated from Gibraltar and quartered in the vacant apartment houses of London. And today, a report from Madrid says that the Spanish fascist newspaper, Arriba, declares that, quote, "Spain was first neutral, then non-belligerent. Now she is physically on the verge of battle." The paper adds that despite the official Spanish government policy, the Spanish people themselves have adopted an attitude of moral belligerency against Britain. But we are told here that living conditions in war-torn Spain are still extremely difficult. Cigarettes, for instance, are unobtainable. This is Larry Lesser, returning you to CBS in New York.
This is New York. Today's fighting in Africa appears to be concentrated in the British Somaliland. Here's the latest news from British sources in Cairo, Egypt. British troops are said to be withdrawing slowly before overwhelmingly superior Italian forces. The British reports say that their soldiers have orders to inflict as many casualties as possible on the advancing Italians without making a frontal stand. It is claimed that British losses so far have been small. Now the news from the Italian capital, reported by Cecil Brown. Go ahead, Rome.
This is Rome. Italian forces have captured the first British base in British Somalia. The fascist troops reached and occupied Zaza on the Gulf of Aden. This was announced by the Italian High Command in the War Bulletin issued a year ago. The occupation was carried out by one of the three columns which have been moving for the past 3 days on British Somaliland. Zaza is on the sea near the border of French Somaliland and about 50 miles from the northeastern corner of Ethiopia. Zaza is also on the direct road to Berbera, the capital of the British colony. The War Bulletin today also announces that fascist planes bombed the airport at Wair in Kenya. Three British ships on the ground were reported destroyed, and a number of fires started at airport buildings. A British plane was shot down in combat. The British raided Diradawa and Massawa in Italian East Africa, but the bulletin says only minor damage was caused. Italian planes attacked another British convoy in the eastern Mediterranean. The high command announces that the convoy of five vessels escorted by naval units was bombed. Two of the merchant vessels were reported hit and seriously damaged. This communique and those of the past few days show the Italians are on the offensive on virtually all fronts. Fascist troops are in British territory in Kenya, in the Anglo-Egyptian Sudan, and in Somalia. From all indications, too, Italian advance units have crossed into Egypt. The papers here today emphasize the damage inflicted on Haifa in Palestine as a result of the third air raid. The Rome paper Messaggero points out that by bombing the oil deposits and refineries of Haifa, Italy strikes at the heart of the enemy fleet. The paper says that without this oil, the English fleet is paralyzed. Right now, the Italian invasion of British Somaliland appears to be the major offensive. That British possession, plus the base of Aden, which has been heavily bombed, guards the narrow straits of Bab el-Mandeb. These straits connect the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. If the Italians can gain control of the straits, they would control all northeast Africa, and only Egypt would stand in the way of complete domination of the northern half of the African continent. Today's war bulletin is number 60. It marks the end of the first 2 months of Italy's participation in the war. In those 2 months, according to the high command, 289 enemy airplanes have been destroyed, while the Italians have lost 45 machines. The Italians give the enemy naval losses as one heavy destroyer, seven other destroyers, and 11 submarines sunk. Three battleships, the Hood and two of the Warspite class, have been damaged. The Italians say they have also damaged two aircraft carriers, the Ark Royal and the Eagle, eight heavy destroyers, three light destroyers, and two submarines. About 10 cargo ships and four oil tankers also have been sunk. The Italians give their naval losses through enemy action as one light destroyer, three other destroyers, seven submarines, and one minesweeper. Virginio Gaida, writing in the Giornale d'Italia last night, replied to the statement of Secretary of State Cordell Hull. Gaida said Italy and Germany have had no intention and have no thought of threatening the American continent. Germany and Italy, he said, are in a war to settle vital European problems. Gaida said Hull's statement was prompted by an attempt to create a favorable atmosphere for American objectives. Fascist writer says the objectives of the United States are to create a North American imperialism, to bring all South America under the political, economic, and financial control of Washington. It was announced today that the Fascist Council of Ministers will meet on Saturday to discuss a number of important propositions. Mussolini will preside at the session.
And with this news from Rome, Columbia concludes this morning report of European developments, presented each morning at this time and each evening at 6:45 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. This morning, you heard Edward Hartridge reporting from Berlin, Larry Lesser reporting from London, and Cecil Brown reporting from Rome. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.